Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
There you go. Bo Naylor with the home run. Tom Hamilton with the home run call. That is your home run call of the day. Cleveland Guardians beat the Minnesota Twins. And along the way, we get the home run call of the day with Naylor going deep. And Hamilton with the call. Well, it was a great day of baseball across the board. Noah Cameron of the Kansas City Royals, congratulations. First major league start, almost throws a no-hitter. Throws no hits before leaves the game with eight outs to go. So pretty good. Pretty good way to introduce yourself to the Major League Baseball. Excellent job. All right. Well, speaking of excellent jobs, John DeMarzio is part of the solution when it comes to the great game of baseball, when it comes to preaching what a great game this is, when it comes to showing everybody why this is the game that you should be paying attention to. John DeMarzio is the director of SNY Broadcast New York Mets, and he is helping really take everything to another level when it comes to just presenting the game in a fashion that is unique, that is getting attention, that is, as I said, showcasing the excellence of watching a baseball game and everything that happens in and around it, not just on the field. It's just a unique, unique way of presenting a game on a broadcast. And I know that John is getting a lot of attention, and he should be getting a lot of attention because he's doing an outstanding job. And really, so many directors across the board, so many directors and all these broadcasts should be getting attention. So this is maybe helping highlight the good work that they do. But in this case, I just wanted to talk to John. So I sat down with him for, I love this conversation. I love talking with John about everything that goes on behind the scenes, everything that goes on into a broadcast, everything that has gone on when it comes to the way that he has approached this very, very unique presentation of baseball. I think you're going to enjoy this conversation. I really do. I know I did. All right. Rate, review, subscribe. Rate, review, subscribe. At BB isn't boring. Once again, I think this is a good one. I think you're going to enjoy it. John DeMarzio, SNY Mets. Here's John.
All right. There's no human being on the planet I'd rather be talking to right now more than John DeMarzio. That's a fact. John, how are you?
I'm good, man. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, yeah. This is something that I really, really wanted to dive into. First of all, congratulations on everything. I mean, just being around ballparks, being around media, to me, John, it's like one of the things is when you find somebody who's creative and who does things a little bit different and excels at it in this sort of world, and you know this world where it's just nonstop. We're going and innovation is sometimes it's hard to see the forest through the trees. I mean, yeah. you know what I'm talking about, right?
Totally. Yeah. First of all, thank you so much for the kind words. We try to have a little fun every night at 7 o'clock when folks tune in to SNY to watch the Mets. But yeah, it's, you know, there's a certain way that people are used to consuming a product. I mean, baseball on television has more or less looked the same for the last, I don't know, 50, 60 years. And so there's, you know, on the surface, there's very little that you can do to sort of embellish the game. But our goal every single night at SNY, and it started with the people that were there before me and our producer, Greg Picker, is always to inform and entertain. And we take that entertainment seriously. We, every night when we come to the ballpark, we know that people have a choice at 7 o'clock of what they want to do. There's Netflix, there's streaming, everything is at our fingertips. And, you know, in some cases, you know, baseball has become a second screen experience for people too on their phones. And so we're trying to, put ourselves ahead of, the norm and kind of really jar people out of their seats once in a while when it comes to embellishing the game and making a game more of an event.
Man, you just, like, as you're talking, there's like 50 things I want to talk to you about, you know, honestly, because I love talking about this subject. I did a, back in 2000, old man yelling the clouds, but back in 2012, you know, I had done stuff for Nessing. And they called me one day and said, hey, do you want to do the broadcast with Will Don Arcillo? Jerry Remy was sick. I said, sure. And I sit in the seat and I'm expecting sort of this crash course, this, you know, 2 hour prep. And it was literally sitting in the seat and then going. And when, you know, I'm sort of going through a lot of stuff that you've done and you're doing and everything else. I learned a lot because I was probably terrible. And I think it was, I felt in my mind I was being paid by Worth a Word. But my point is that I go back to that moment and I think about in that time, it was great Russ Ken who was sort of directing this and thinking about how he must have been sort of bobbing and weaving his way through it. And so I say all this with the question to you. You know, how much has it changed? Like, how much has it changed for you? And I know that you jumped into this role in 2020, right? But, yeah. You know, this is, like, I still, and I've done some broadcasts since then, but I've always gone in, I'm going to fill my head full of information, and I'm just going to talk like I would talk to somebody on the couch. And I feel like that may be leaning into it more than even it was back then.
Mm-hmm.
Because of attention spans.
Yeah.
That's a terrible question and a very self-serving, saying that I did a broadcast back then. But my point is that I just look at it through the prism of that guy then and what I see now. How has it changed?
Yeah. Yeah. I think you hit the nail on the head when it comes to attention spans. I mean, we're all guilty of being on our devices and kind of getting lost in a screen. And even though folks are watching baseball on a screen, I feel like you don't want the broadcast to get lost in the mesh, in the black mirror of all of the screens that surround us. You want baseball to be something that you sit down to and you watch, not something in the background, not something that is passive. You want to engage the viewer. And there's a lot of ways you could do that. You talked about being on the broadcast. Our producer, Greg Picker, when he coaches play-by-play people or analysts that are green, that people, you know, obviously we have Gary, Keith, and Ron who are veterans. They've been together for 20 years. But when someone new comes onto the show, whether it be a Daniel Murphy or a Jerry Blevins or Todd Zeal or some, or Steve Gelbs, when he fills in play-by-play, he always tells them, when you speak, say something. If you're going to say something, make sure that there is some content behind it, and it's it's adding to the broadcast in a way. In a world where there's a pitch clock now and there is less real estate to get words in, when you speak, say something. And I try to bring that to the visual side because I'm speaking in pictures. When I take a shot, have it convey something, whether it be, in an entertainment fashion or a scholastic fashion, or just, a shot to remind people that they should be watching the game and not on their device.
That's so well said. And, I think a lot of what you said is instincts, right? Instincts of what's too long, where are we going to lose the viewer? Where are we going to get the viewer? And there's no better case of instincts. And, as we're taping this, what you did with calling the home run, with it, when it came to, getting, was it Lindor, right?
Yeah, well, last night it was Pete
Alonso.
He had a full count, and there were a few celebrities in the stands, and so once in a while you want to take a chance and isolate a celebrity, and you can try to get a reaction to a big moment. We got lucky with Tom Hanks last night. Apatow was also in the seats. Told our camera, "Hey, can you go shoot Judd Apatow and get his reaction for this home run?" Sometimes you just get a feeling. You've watched enough games and, thousands and thousands of games. And Met fans know the same. You just get that feeling. You've seen the at-bat. Alonso was in like a 7 or 8 pitch at-bat. He'd seen everything the guy thrown, full count. You just get a feeling that it's going to be a home run. I said, go get his reaction for this home run. Next pitch, boom, home run. And sometimes you get lucky. But it is instincts, too.
But it's an instinct. But what a rush, man. Like, what a rush when the instincts do take over. And I was going back and watching the Edwin Diaz, obviously you made your mark with that entrance music and going back and watching that video, in case people forget, the Timmy Trumpets like walking in with a camera behind him and then swirling around to the mound, but catching the moment. And as that is unfolding, and that was sort of newish, right? I mean, John, like
it had been a while since it became a the norm. When Mariano when he came into Metallica, you would see it once in a while, maybe in a postseason game, All Star game. Mariano's last All Star game, I think it was at Citi Field. Actually, they showed him coming in. That would have been 2012 or 13. It was a rarity to ever see that for sure. Yeah,
and. So when you're executing that and they're showing you in the booth and the music's playing and you're directing it and it's lining up perfectly. And what I'm thinking from your perspective is lower the heart rate. The adrenaline must be as it's going on. You're like, boom, 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 it's hitting. I mean, can you explain, whether it's that moment or whether it's like the Judd Apatow moment or whatever it is when it just lines up and it clicks about the rush that you get in there, or is there a rush, or is it just, okay, we're moving on, shot here. What's that like?
You try to keep to stay pretty even throughout the event, because when your voice gets elevated, everybody else that you're working with, because I'm not working alone, I'm surrounded by 40 technicians working around me doing their thing. And so you don't want to elevate too much, but in moments like that, it's hard not to get caught up in the moment. But when you're surrounded by such talented camera people and audio people, video people, replay, it's when all of those cogs are clicking, it's a magical thing going on in that truck. And, when I post these videos, I'm glad people get to hear me and sort of a glimpse into, how the sausage is made. But when you're in that moment, and the announcers in the booth are doing their thing and we're doing our thing in the truck and the cameras are nailing their shots and the audio guys have the ambiance in the ballpark cranked up, you really start to levitate in the truck. It feels like that truck, and it really is, we're in an actual truck. It feels like those four wheels are coming off the ground sometimes, and it's a special thing. And you get caught up in, there are certain moments over the course of a season, you may not get many of them, but in 2022, that game where we did Edwin Diaz's entrance, and that same game was also the Jacob DeGrom taking the field to Simple Man. You kind of catch lightning in a bottle, and, you don't know when the moment's going to come, but if you have the people in place and if we're in our home truck with our home crew, we're prepared for those moments, and you really just, you bathe in them, and sometimes you don't really know until after the fact. You go, wow, that was really cool. And I don't even know what it looks like until I go back and watch it back, because you're so caught up in the moment, you know?
What's the best compliment you've gotten? You know, it's probably, I don't know if it's from someone inside the industry or maybe it's, who knows, like Tom Hanks said, hey, man, that was awesome how you showed me. I don't know.
Yeah. No, it's, you know, just generally speaking, you know, because I am trying some kind of funky, wacky thing sometimes. And the reception has been like 99% just overly positive from not only Mets fans, just from baseball people. And that's a great feeling to know that, like, people are just excited to see, you know, a baseball broadcast trying new things. And a lot of people are really into the stuff, you know? So it's honestly transcending just baseball too. Every year I'm asked to do an event at the Museum of the Moving Image here in Queens, which is a film museum. And I do an event at their beautiful movie theater, and they sell hundreds of tickets, and it's really a celebration of baseball and cinema. And it's sort of that recognition that I really appreciate kind of the most, because I got the Mets fans are so proud of this broadcast, whether it be the three guys in the booth or doing in the truck. But when it sort of trans fans and fandom to something more, whether it be the stuff at the film world or this thing, which has sort of become pop culture phenomenon rather than just a, you know, baseball Mets centric thing. It's that kind of stuff that makes me kind of step back and say, whoa, this is pretty cool.
What has been the acceptance? Well, what was the acceptance when you wanted to sort of start going down this path from A, the people who you have to answer to, mm-hmm. and B, you know, I also know like how media is, like media is, oh, well, you can't do that, you can't do that, you can't do that. So what was the acceptance like, and has that changed over the last few years?
It all started with my predecessor, Bill Webb. He was SMY's first director starting in 2006 until his untimely death in 2017. But Bill was the first like rock star director. He directed the World Series on Fox from their first year until his passing, every All-Star game. If there was a big baseball moment, it was.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up. But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Bill calling the shots. And when Bill got to SMY, he was already that rock star. You know, broadcast Hall of Famer, legend, TV titan. And so he got to kind of do what he wanted. Like, he took a lot of chances. He had his camera crew in place, that he'd been working with for literal decades. And so he was able to kind of write the script every night. And I got to watch that from behind him in graphics, in the graphics PA position, every single night. And so he laid the groundwork for taking the chances and not having, you know, too many things holding you back. And I sort of ran with it. And our producer, Greg Picker, he has a really great philosophy when it comes to this stuff. It's like he says, if, you know, if we put talented people in their positions, you really kind of have to let them go. And because you don't want to put restraints on creative people, because then you're not going to get anything special. And so he allows us to take the chances, whether it be me directing, our associate director, Eddie Warman, cutting a really funky tease or a package, or our graphics people coming up with all the funny stuff and ambitious things that they do. You really allows us to take chances. And, that's how you get the gold. You know, you can't get the gold if you put restraints on people.
So good. It's so good. And it also is like inspiring. Like, you know, again, I'll come back to it. I'm sorry. Like we're all in this world of a baseball season.
Yeah.
It can beat you down, man. Like it can beat you down, but to have moments, to have inspiration, and you're inspiring me right now, to be perfectly honest with you. Let's go. But what, you know, so I, two pieces of your foundation. Number one, the foundation of loving baseball. Number two, the foundation of loving sentiment. Question that we ask a lot of people are like, remember the first time you walked into a major league ballpark? And the consistent theme is, oh, the green are never greener, the whites are never whiter. Mm-hmm. Do you remember your first time? If you don't, that's okay too. Maybe one of your first times.
Yeah. So I grew up actually in North Carolina to New York transplants. So I grew up a Mets fan, but in North Carolina, and the closest ballpark to us was at Turner Field in Atlanta. So every year we'd go once every year when the Mets came to Atlanta for a series. And so my first big league memories are at Turner Field, watching the Mets in the late 90s, early 2000s, which was a great run, a great time to be a Mets fan. But that place, I have PTSD from the tomahawk chop. And I have PTSD from Crazy Train Chipper Jones walk up song. It wasn't easy growing up in the quote unquote South as a Mets fan. So a lot of my memories are of a sea of red tomahawks chopping around me and me cheering for Mike Piazza and Joe McEwing and, you know, Todd Pratt, Robin Ventura, those guys. So that is, for better or worse, my first baseball memory. I didn't get to Shea Stadium until I was 19 years old. So I took a trip to New York when I was 19, and that was actually my first trip to Shea Stadium. I'll never forget getting on the 7 train and seeing that big blue stadium come into view, you know, looking out the window. And, you know, that honestly is probably a more vivid memory, specifically my first game at Shea Stadium.
But that's like 19 years old. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're 5 or you're 19.
Yeah.
And also this links up with the medium of television, because all you knew was what you saw, right?
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I was young and I interned at Nesson, and I stepped on the, I got a chance to step on the Fenway Park field for the first time. I can't explain it, like how that felt, because, and I guess it was because that was something I saw. That was like the Wizard of Oz. I mean, that wasn't real. Mm-hmm. And it's probably the same way when you're driving up to Shea, right?
Totally, totally. Those places like Fenway Park and Wrigley Field are still magical. They're the only ballparks where I make an effort every single time to make sure I, at least for one day, watch batting practice on the field. You know, I'm so lucky to get the chance to have the access that I do. And I rarely take advantage of it, because you get into the grind of the season and you have your own work to do. But at Fenway and Wrigley, I will be out there at least one game to watch batting practice on the field, because there's nothing like standing on that field and looking around you and seeing this place that, you know, it's, you know, you've only seen in the movies almost. It's like that feeling, you know?
Awesome. And so now the cinema. What made you fall in love with cinema? Was there a movie? Was there a director? Was there an actor? What made you fall in love with it?
I've always, since I was a little kid and I was wearing out that Ghostbusters VHS and Ninja Turtles and even The Wizard of Oz, my grandmother babysat us every Saturday, and she had a big closet full of VHS tapes, and I would just be in heaven. I'd go open that closet door and look at the movies and look at the covers, and watch the movies on a loop. And I just, you just fell in love with it. And I'm a collector to this day. I collect Blu-rays, 4Ks, and, you know, DVDs even. I have a collection of probably 3,000 movies, and it's something about tangibly holding the movie and owning it that I just really, I get a rush from. The medium itself is, it's always meant a lot to me. I studied film in college. So you kind of learn the nuts and bolts and the history and the theory and the philosophy. And I didn't know I would kind of be able to take that stuff with me into my next job. You know, I originally thought I might want to be a film editor and wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do. And, you know, when I walked into the TV truck for the first time as an SNY intern in 2009, you know, I really saw that you could apply these film techniques that I learned in college to this totally separate medium that I had no idea even really existed. So it was just kind of a perfect mesh of my interests. I didn't necessarily, when I got promoted to the director position in this off season of 2019, and then we had that awful COVID 2020 season, I didn't necessarily think that I would, bring those techniques to the everyday nitty gritty of directing baseball, but I couldn't deny the bedrock and foundational knowledge of all of this stuff that I had my entire life impacting every cut that I took. And once I started seeing, those magic moments happen, you take more chances and, you know, you talk to people and see what they like. I have an amazing crew who has been so open to all of the things that we're trying, and it's exciting for them too, because you really try to, we really push each other to get the next great shot or the next great edit or transition, whatever it might be. And it becomes a collaborative thing too.
You know, one of the other things that keeps coming up when we talk to people about baseball and the awards of baseball, this actually stemmed from the commissioner when our good friend Joe Kelly interviewed him, and the commissioner said, listen, it's inarguable that baseball is the best sporting event to go to. It's the best sport I've been to go to. And because, you know, there's a lot of reasons. You sit there, something happens, you talk, you have experience. And I don't think there's any question. The challenge is to make baseball, as you point out, it's like to make people understand that, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's what you're doing. I think that you're doing exactly that. And I got a feeling like you have that same mindset. Like, you have to understand how awesome it is to go to a baseball game. And yes, football's made for TV, basketball's made for TV, but you are making baseball made for TV. You know, and through that prism, you know, and that's what I think you're doing. I don't know if that's on your mindset or not.
I think you have to love the game to be good at broadcasting the game. You know, it's, you know, when it's game 135 and the team's under 500, they're 20 games out. And we've had a lot of those summers on SNY throughout the years. It becomes difficult, but every day you still have a job to do. There's still an audience watching. And if you don't love the game, it's hard to do your job well. And I think everybody at SNY deep down loves the game. And as far as the broadcast, the actual broadcast itself, you're trying to serve many audiences. The natural ebbs and flows of baseball, very poetic, but there's also an audience out there that is more interested in a deeply analytic broadcast. You know, there are some people that like the human interest stuff that we bring, or some people that just want to stick to baseball. There's some people that like the, you know, dramatic flourishes that I might do, and there's some people that don't. And so you try to serve many audiences. I myself am more into the poetry and the ebbs and flows of baseball and the lore and, you know, the cinema, the inherent cinema of the game. But there's some people on our broadcast that bring a different angle. And so it's like, we're never just going to be one thing. And over the course of 162 games, you don't want to be one thing. You want to be a lot of different things. And so that's what you're going to get every night at SNY.
All right. Well, you've been very generous with your time. Last thing, John, it's just, you know, I don't even know if you can answer this. Like, what's next? You know, I mean, do you sit in a dark room thinking, okay, I did this. This was cool. But what's the next thing we can do? Can we push the limit? Is there something that like, hey, you know, I've been thinking about this, but I got to ask permission. Like, what's next?
Yeah. No, I have a lot of ideas written down and up here in my head. You know, you just really have to listen to the game. The game is going to tell you everything you need. It's going to tell you when this makes sense. You don't want to force things on people or use things that don't make sense in the moment. The game will always dictate what we do as a broadcast. It's not going to ever be the other way around. It's our job to take those moments, not miss them, and bring them to the viewer in the most beautiful way possible. And that's a fun thing every single night to do.
Well, listen, I sincerely mean this, John. Like, you've inspired me. Again, we get bogged down in a lot of this stuff, but you've inspired. Yeah. I love creativity, I love innovation, and you said it, educating, informing, entertaining, the whole ball of wax. So congratulations with everything. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. This was fun.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.